Underwriting support for Hometown Sunday Morning from the Sharon Valley Tavern since the 1930s, serving the community with a rich history and roots dating back to the 1800s. Today, the tavern continues to serve the residents of the Tri-State region with a relaxing atmosphere 7 days a week, food, friends, and fun the old-fashioned way, 860-364-9355. You'll find them on Facebook, Sharon Valley Tavern. Associated Lightning Rod, Route 22 in Millerton, installing lightning protection for homes and businesses for well over 50 years, 518-789-4603. ALRCI.com on the web. Sagala Turnkey Housing, Route 7 in Canaan, an authorized independent builder for Westchester Modular Homes, 860-824-0019, Sagala's.com. Roaring Oaks Florist in Lakeville, Connecticut, unique designs with personal attention, roaringoaksflorist.com. Dave's TV, Route 44 in Millerton, New York, everything for home entertainment, video, audio, satellite TV, 518-789-3881, davestv.net. McEnroe Organic Farm Market, Route 22 in Millerton, open year-round 7 days a week, 518-789-4191, McEnroeOrganicFarm.com. Northeast Muffler, Route 22 in Millerton, New York, 518-789-3669. On Facebook, Northeast Muffler. Upcountry Services in Sharon, serving the northwest corner and neighboring Dutchess County for over 30 years, 800-791-2916, upcountryservices.com.
Good morning, listeners. It's Sunday, November 4th. Today is the second-to-last show of Hometown Sunday Morning. So before we get started with that, I do have some PSAs for you. The Hotchkiss School's 24th Annual Swimathon will be held today at the Hickson Pool at the Hotchkiss School in Lakeville, Connecticut. The event is a fundraiser for the Northwest Connecticut Special Olympics swimming team. The swimathon is sponsored by the Hotchkiss School. There is no entry fee for the day-long event, but participants are asked to solicit pledges for laps completed or to simply come, swim, and make a donation. American Post 178 will host its monthly pancake breakfast this morning until 11 a.m. at its post located at 155 on Route 44. The menu includes pancakes, French toast, syrup, sausage, bacon, eggs, home fries, toast, coffee, hot chocolate, and tea. Eat in or take out. Price is $8 for adults and $6 for children, 12 and under, and seniors. Proceeds go to multiple Legion projects and initiatives, including youth and children's activities, and the Post Wounded Warrior Fund, which assists local veterans in need. The Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club Turkey Shoot will be held today at the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club, 148 South Canaan Road in Canaan, Connecticut. No, folks, we're not shooting turkeys here. We are shooting at paper targets where the best marksmen and women can win turkeys and other prizes. This is a family event. Children can participate if accompanied by an adult. There is no pre-registration. Just show up and shoot. Join Audubon Sharon for our annual Audubon Kids Day. Come enjoy a fun autumn afternoon at our center for today from 12 to 3. The festivities will include games, crafts, hay bale maze, hay wagon shuttles, a large leaf pit for jumping, family-friendly entertainment, good food, and more. Fun for young children and their entire family. Admission is $20 per car, rain or shine, ideal for children pre-K to third grade. All activities are included in the price of admission. Food is extra. On the menu, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, veggie burgers, hot dogs, homemade turkey chili, homemade soup, assorted chips and snacks, assorted homemade goodies such as brownies, cupcakes, cookies, etc., hot chocolate, coffee, apple cider, juice boxes, and water. For more information, contact the Sharon Audubon Center at 860-364-0520. For Robin Hood Radio, I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave.
Uh-oh.
We got to...
echo.
Yeah, we got an echo from the radio. Just go ahead and turn it down, Paul,
turn
please.
Turn what down?
There's a radio in the other room.
Oh, there is?
It's up. Yeah, you'll hear. I'll just keep talking. This anyway, welcome
cool,
to Hometown
like,
Sunday
like
Morning.
The sound of music.
Yeah, it is. It really echoes in the back here. So anyway, welcome to Hometown Sunday Morning. Got a lot going on this morning. Also this morning down in Dover Plains at the VFW Post 5444 right on Route 22 as you go into Dover Plains. The VFW has a pancake breakfast all you can eat also. And that's really a good one. Pat, Danine, and I went down this morning. They have eggs any style, pancakes, sausage, bacon, hash, toast, juice, coffee. All for $8 for adults, and really a neat breakfast. So that runs until 11 a.m. this morning, and that's same as the VF or the American Legion Post 178 in Millerton. So I don't know why we got
it's
that.
Still
you can't
echo.
You can't even have the headphones on. It's tough. I got a terrible echo on mine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we don't need to have headphones. It's all right.
You can put it back on. You can put your headphones back on now. They should be okay.
They should be. Yeah, No,
it's still an echo.
Still got an echo.
Well, that echo comes from because we've added a new studio transmitter link. That's like a split second off, but it gives us cleaner audio. So, but you need your headphones on when you listen to people on the telephone and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I've got a way to get around this. Put your headphones on and talk, and I think I've got a way around this.
It's all right, Marshall. No, listen, we know how to do old-style radio.
put your headphones on. I'm going to try something.
All right. We're having a little technical difficulty.
You guys let me know. This
but,
is weird.
it does sound funny, doesn't it?
Why do you keep repeating yourself?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Well, anyway, we always start out with...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. We always start out with a troop tribute
you
this
got
morning.
It, Marshall.
And, now that we got the PSA out of the way, and we've got the sound fixed in our headphones,
yeah,
it's just like a brand new show.
It
is. Welcome to Hometown Sunday Morning.
I went to the breakfast this morning.
Yes. So how was the breakfast?
That was
you
good.
Went to the one in Sharon. We
no, I went to the one in Millerton.
The one in Millerton. Yeah. How was it?
Good. Good.
You said it was mobbed.
It was. It was pretty busy around 8 o'clock. So,
they really have a good. They do a great job over there.
The waitresses were quite polite and kept coming back and trying to ply us with orange juice and coffee.
Coffee. Mm-hmm. So you went with the Thompsons?
I did.
And did you give them your phone number? Because that was the whole idea of going out for breakfast. They wanted your phone number.
Why would they want my phone
number? I didn't ask why. I don't ask those kind of personal questions.
Okay. Well, I gave them a phone number.
Oh, good.
So.
As long as you gave them a phone number, it's all good.
It's dial a prayer. I gave them dial a prayer.
Dial a prayer?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
And I saw your friend Ralph.
Ralph Fidelli, you told me.
Yeah.
And you told him that you went into the new
restroom facility.
The restroom facility.
Yeah, so it's much better than a Port-a-John, let me tell you. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. It was open, though, huh?
It was open, yes, both sides.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's really quite fancy, actually.
Oh, that's what they say.
Yeah. Everything's new. It's all aluminum, very, very modernistic. I was quite impressed.
Nice.
It's worth the $75,000 or $125,000, whatever it is that they paid for it, every penny.
I don't remember what that budget was, but
it was
quite
up there.
Steep.
It was pretty steep.
All right. Well, anyway, we also have some folks coming in from Noble Horizons to continue our talk about dementia and some of the effects of dementia. Of course, Linda Orlowski is going to be joining us, my wife, Christine. And so we'll be talking to them, and I'm sure Billy Anstead will be calling. I'm sure Willie Hallahan will be calling. Really, it's too bad we got rid of that echo.
What's that?
It's too bad because that would have been kind of fun with Willie. You know what I'm trying to say?
True.
All right, so we start out with a troop tribute, and we're going to pass this off to Larry the Patriot, and he's going to take us through this week's edition.
Good morning, hometown listeners. Today will be my last segment here on Hometown Sunday Morning. But I've told I should make every effort to be here briefly next Sunday. We'll see what happens. That depends upon other individuals. I've done my best over the years representing our military and veterans' needs and concerns. The need to fully back and fund our military as determined by honest and reliable military commanders, and our need to fully support those returning from service. We're slow on the draw in good medical care and options, especially addressing PTSD and TBI. We brought this concern to you listeners' ears, the VA and government officials. It's doing a slow walk, but progress nevertheless, and thank you all. I know we've made a big change in a worthy veteran's life by providing he or she with a service dog, thanks to a huge combined effort by you listeners and some local individuals. I know that after listening to us, some veterans have sought long overdue veteran-on-veteran interaction or professional counseling and advice. If we save just one veteran of the 22 or so that commit suicide each and every day, I'm satisfied, very satisfied. It's all been worth the time and effort. That veteran can still proudly fly an American flag rather than have it displayed at their headstone. That, folks, means a great deal to me. Tragedy and death is common in the active military. It is neither expected nor acceptable after a veteran retires. Please, folks, rally behind your military and veterans. They are your first and mostly only line of defense in protecting your freedoms. Our values and honor demand it. You veterans, listen up. There are many support groups, agencies, and individuals out there to help you, whether it be health-related, personal loans, interaction groups, etc. No matter what you're experiencing, there's something or someone in the network out there to lend support to get your life back on track or enhance it. The Veterans Administration, besides offering medical care, has a variety of counselors to discuss and coordinate your concerns or needs, though they're a bit slow addressing PTSD and TBI. Excellent public sector patriots offer help in that area. Some with state-of-the-art medical facilities, and others offering animal-human interaction, a proven four-legged prescription with no doctor usually involved. You must be proactive in helping yourself first. Take that step if needed. You'll not regret it. There is currently a 24/7 White House hotline manned by retired veterans or those veteran-oriented individuals that can answer any question you may have or direct you to an appropriate source. Take down this number. It is legitimate. I called it at 0430 one morning and chatted with a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel for several minutes. That number is 855-948-2311, and I'll repeat that, 855-948-2311. You haven't heard the last of me. I have other plans to keep our military and veteran agenda at the forefront, perhaps hooking up with a journalist or telling our story at schools. You, each and every one of you veterans, have given up years of your lives and put your lives on the line for the citizens of this country. Hold your heads high and be personally proud. You, the less than 1% of our population, did your best. No one can ask for more. God bless our military, our veterans, those protecting us foreign and domestically, and of course, you faithful listeners and your families. Now, before passing this back to NASCAR Dave, I'd like to offer this quick lesson in flag etiquette, which may be of significant importance to David in his future. 10 etiquette guidelines. The flag should be hoisted briskly and lowered ceremoniously. The flag is never allowed to touch the ground or floor. When hung over a sidewalk on a rope extending from a building or to a pole, the Union Stars are always away from the building. When vertically hung over the center of the street, the flag always has the Union Stars to the north in an east-west street and to the east in a north-south street. Try to remember that one, Dave.
Hmm.
The flag of the United States of America should be at the center and at the highest point of the group when a number of flags of states or localities or pennants of societies are grouped and displayed from staffs. The flag should never be festooned, drawn back, nor up in folds, but always allowed to fall free. The flag should be displayed at half-staff until noon on Memorial Day, then raised to the top of the staff. Never fly the flag upside down except as a signal of distress. In instances of extreme danger to life or property, the flag is never flown in inclement weather except when using an all-weather flag. The flag can be flown every day from sunrise to sunset and at night if illuminated properly. And David, I thought you could use this reminder when you fly this new American flag respectfully presented by the Rounders of Riga in appreciation of your patriotic and caring contribution to families, community, and country. Fly it proudly at your new home in Florida as a symbol of your patriotism and contribution to humanity. God walk with you, David. A thankful, heartfelt salute from the Rounders, all we veterans and patriots. Enjoy.
No, thank you. You know, my wife said to me this morning, we've got to get a flag because there's a flagpole in the yard.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a flag on it when we were down there last. So
that's
this is kind of cool. Now
fortuitous.
I don't have to go get a flag. Thank you very much.
You're
that's
welcome.
Quite touching. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, NASCAR Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Fine. I figured I'd extend my 2 cents to say thank you very much for the community for taking care of them and recognizing the vets as well. It's always been a pleasure. And also with the gentleman standing there or sitting there right now, maybe having an ice cream. You know, it's cool outside. You never know.
Oh, no.
But anyways, Dave, I thank you very much. I know the community will long remember you, and we'll be glad to throw you under the bus, as you would say.
That's all right.
But, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
And you and the missus take care.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
All right, sir.
All right. Bye. With that being said, we always start out with a couple of tribute songs. And, Larry, once again, let's just give that 24-hour hotline number. That's something fairly new on it.
It works.
It works. And veterans or their families need to be aware of this number. It's manned 24 hours a day.
It is. And like I said, I got up and put on coffee at 4 o'clock in the morning, called at 4:30, and I chatted with a retired Air Force officer for about 10 or 15 minutes. That number is 855-948-2311. And be proactive if you need to contact us, or if you need loans, or if you need to enhance your life, or bring something in order, call it. They may not be able to answer your question, but they'll get in touch with someone to get in touch with you that will help you.
Yeah, that's the key to it. All right, with that being said, we always start out with a couple of tribute songs, and this goes out to all those veterans, both past and present, that keep us safe and out of harm's way so that we can be free.
Well, Here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag. If that bothers you, well, that's too bad. But if you got pride and you're proud, you do. Hey, we could use some more like me and you. Where the stars and the stripes and the eagle fly. On earth, but it's the only place that I prefer to love my wife and raise my kids. Hey, the same way that my daddy did. With the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
I was there in the winter of 64 when we camped in the ice at Nashville's door. 300 miles our trail had led. We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. I died with a grape shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace, for every fallen son. Set my spirit free. Let me lay down my gun. Sweet Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired. In June of 1944, the blood of Omaha shores. 21 and scared to death, my heart pounding in my chest. I almost made the first seawall when my friends turned and saw me fall. I still smell the smoke, I can taste the mud as I lay there dying from a loss of blood.
Aaron Tippin and Trace Adkins helping us out with this week's Troop Tribute. Taking a quick look at the weather, it's going to be partly cloudy today with a high of 49. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 36. Tomorrow, showers early, becoming a steady rain later in the day, a high of 48. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave. Don't forget, two pancake breakfasts going on this morning locally. One is at the VFW Post 5444 in Dover Plains, New York. Right as you are going south, going into Dover, $8 all you can eat, includes eggs any style, pancakes, sausage, bacon, hash, toast, juice, coffee, and the likes. And all those proceeds help benefit the programs at the Post. Also, Post 178 in Millerton, New York, the American Legion, is holding their monthly pancake breakfast. First one of the year, I believe, right, Paul?
No,
it wasn't. Second one, that's right. They started in October. That also runs until 11 o'clock this morning, and that's, once again, all you can eat. And they had what, Paul, was on the menu?
Pancakes, orange juice and coffee, hash, home fries. Pancakes were blueberry, chocolate chip, and plain. Different types of toast. There's a sausage patty because I know Mary had one. I can't remember the rest.
There's probably bacon and eggs.
Yeah, eggs, of course. There's scrambled and all the different types, yeah. I'm not concentrating. I'm sorry. It's just I'm so sad that it's almost the end here. I just can't think
of
anything else.
Well, why don't you just go sit in your car and listen to it then, all
right? I'll sit in the green room
instead. I'm not going to sit here and have you pout all morning.
I won't pout. I think I'm going to break out in tears.
All right. Also, coming up next week, if you want to help out another group of veterans, next Saturday, November 10th, we'll give you more information about that throughout the morning here this morning. But American Legion Post 126 is once again on November 10th. They're going to have a roast beef dinner. All you can eat includes barbecued beef, mashed potatoes, gravy, salad bar, vegetable, rolls, and dessert. It's served from 4 until 7. It's all you can eat. Takeouts are available. For any questions on that, 860-364-5640. And believe me, that's an outstanding roast beef dinner to go to.
And another item, veteran-oriented. On Friday, November 9th at 2 p.m., the Salisbury Upper School will once again be featuring its tribute to veterans. The children from the lower grades pay tribute to the veterans in appreciation of their service.
And that's an outstanding program.
Oh, it is really
something.
And it's really
open
something.
To the public, and it's free.
And you'll have to enter through the upper building because of security reasons. And probably exit through the lower ones after you're done, but...
I'm sure there'll be people there to tell us where to go tell folks where to go.
Yeah, if you get a chance,
attend
that.
That's a great one going on, too. One other thing going on. What'd they do, drop it? Huh. No, it's underneath the roast beef dinner. Today, if you're out in Poughkeepsie at the Poughkeepsie Elks Lodge, my buddy Sheriff Butch Anderson is having a pancake breakfast. It's their annual pancake breakfast. To re-elect Butch, I guess he'll be on the ballot Tuesday, huh, Paul?
No,
the next time.
Yeah, it's the next time.
Yeah, it's not on this one.
No.
Anyway, that runs from 9 until noontime. It's $15 all you can eat. so that's right at the Poughkeepsie Elks Lodge on 29 Over Rocker Road, Poughkeepsie, New York. So you can go over there and have a great breakfast, too. And now I guess we have Willie on line one. All right, good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm good, Willie. How are you?
Good. I had called. Chad was kind of short for time because he had to go live, but I was just calling to see when you wanted me. I know you had the group from Noble coming in, and I didn't want to get in the way of that. But anyway, here I am on the air, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah, you got time. It's 9:30. I mean, Marshall gives you 2 minutes.
Yeah, he does.
So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 2.5.
Bless your heart.
I mean, that's just kind of nice of me, isn't it?
Yeah, really. Yeah, you are a philanthropist, for sure.
I was just telling Marshall when he came in with our little technical glitch this morning that I had heard you on during the week, and I told Marshall, I think that's a great little segment to keep folks up to date, and he agreed, so... good job, Willie.
Well, it keeps me focused. You know, give me a time limit, and I'll stay within it.
Well, you can have more than 2.5 minutes.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Thank you. First, I got to thank Larry for his final tribute and thank him for the difference he's made for veterans and all of his tributes. Those of us who aren't really embedded in that world need to find out what's going on. And the best thing you did today, I think, was to give that number. I'm sure that'll be very helpful for a lot of people.
And, thank you, Willie.
And what was the name? Is it just Veterans Hotline? It's a
White House Veterans Hotline.
White House. Okay. Good. I might add that to a blog one of these days. Okay.
Nice.
Thank you. In my world, yesterday I went to the Ed McGuire 18th Annual Cannonball 5K Run in Falls Village. Small town, long name. And it was very successful. It's characterized by starting the race off with a cannon blast, and it's a loud one. They had 123 runners, which is a good number for a small town event. But what's interesting is over 70 of them, 70, were those people from the 169 Town Society that I've spoken of.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it's well over half of the field were these people. I know because I took a group picture of them and counted the little heads in my cell phone. And there are certain races, especially in towns where there's only one or two races a year, they get large numbers of these people because if they want to, you know, satisfy that town on their checklist, they have to go to that race. So a lot, North Canaan and Salisbury and all these towns, Cornwall, for example, they get a lot of these folks. There are 3,000 of them in the club, so we'll see. We'll be seeing more and more of them as time goes on. Today, Chad talked about it in his public service announcements. There's the Hotchka School Swimathon. I hope to get over there and take some pictures. It's from 9 to 5. You can go if you can just hop in the water and do one lap if you want, or you can swim all day. Keith Moon has told me that there are a couple swimmers, believe it or not, that swam from 9 to 5 last year.
They really?
With the whole time. Yeah, these are pretty good athletes. And one thing that I mention every once in a while, but not enough, is this: last year there were 230 swimmers who participated from 9 different schools. Most of these swimmers who are raising the money are teenagers. They're kids. And I've spoken before about the impact that young people have on many of the fundraisers around here. Well, here's a perfect example. Basically, I'm guessing almost all of them are going to be young people. And last year they raised $13,500 for the Special Olympic swim team of Connecticut. So, you know, kudos to all of them. It's a wonderful event. Like I said, it's open from 9 to 5. I think the Connecticut Olympic swim team is going to be there. The Special Olympic swim team is going to be present there at some point during the day.
Nice.
Yeah. They always show up. It's for their benefit, and they show up. So that goes on, like I said, from 9 to 5.
And kudos to Hotchka School for the use of their facility and all that.
Yeah, and Keith Moon, he's a teacher and a coach there, but he's also involved in the Special Olympics too. So he's quite embedded in that organization. Kudos to him. It's got to be quite an event to organize. And then coming up this week, on Wednesday, in the middle of the week, is another event that showcases what young people can do. On Wednesday at the Torrington Middle School in Torrington, the 11th Boys versus Girls Soccer Showdown, it's called. That's from 3 to 5:30. And what they do is the boys' soccer team plays the girls' soccer team, but at the same time they solicit canned and non-perishable food items. And the way the scoring runs is they score, of course, the way they do in a soccer game. You make a goal, you score a goal. But also for people who contribute food items, you can give to either the boys or girls team, and for every 20 food items, that team gets a goal as well. So they're scoring goals two different ways. And at the end of the day, they add up the canned goods and the winners are proclaimed. But what they've done in the past is they get between 1,200 and 1,500 food items in that little two-hour window, and that goes to FISH of Northwest Connecticut. That stands for Friends in Service to Humanity, which is a big organization. So, and the CEO or the chairman of the FISH program has said that how meaningful that is. I mean, that's 35 boxes of food, and it's hugely meaningful to their program. So, again, that's an all children's event, middle school kids doing good deeds in their community.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's a double whammy.
Yeah.
Because it teaches them how to give back when they get to be adults, too.
Exactly, yes. I think you're seeing more and more of that in schools, private schools, too. I think they're required to do some sort of community service just for that reason, to see, to show them that there's tremendous need around them, and give them a chance to do something about it. It's probably one of the best lessons they can learn in school.
Absolutely.
Next Saturday, over in Valachian, New York, there's the Valachian Veterans 13th Annual 5K. It benefits not veterans, but they split it between the Boy Scouts of that town and also a small charity called the Ichabod Crane Backpack Program. I've seen the backpack program before. It seems to be particular to New York State, but What they do is they provide meals for kids on weekends who need it, and on weekends are not able to participate in school food programs. You know, it's horrible that we even need those charities, but thank goodness we have them. So that 5K race benefits both the Boy Scouts and this backpack program. Also, next Saturday and Sunday is the second weekend of the Cove Lanes Bowling Tournament. It's a three weekends, two days each weekend, and you can if you can miss the first one, you can join this one or you can go next weekend. They're individual tournaments all three weekends. So it's not as though you had to be in last weekend to participate this weekend, this coming weekend.
So you mean I could still get a team in up there?
You sure could.
Oh, that's a great idea, Dave.
We've got just the four.
You need five people, $150, benefits the youth, not just bowling, but basketball and baseball programs in the Great Barrington area. Cove Lanes, great place. Yeah.
You don't need five with these four.
Oh, really?
No.
It must be Christine is there. You must be including her.
No, I'm not involved in this one.
When we get through your segment, I've got to talk a little bit about last week's adventure to move our furniture to Florida.
Okay, good. Well, I'll hustle up here and leave you time.
Oh, it's all right. We've got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, that's next Saturday and Sunday, the Cove Lanes. Go to the website, Sporting the Cause. It's 11 to 3 both days. Also next Sunday is the Age Before Beauty 13th Annual Cross Country 5K at the often-mentioned White Memorial Conservation Center in Litchfield. And a portion of those proceeds go to the USA Track and Field programs. And finally, next Sunday is the fifth of six turkey shoots put on by the Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club. It's at 10 o'clock today also. Today is the fifth Sunday, and there's one more. No, that's not right. Today's the fourth. Next week is the fifth. And then the week after that is the sixth and final turkey shoot of this program. And that's fun. You've had that on your public service announcements. It's a family event. Youngsters can shoot if they're there with a parent. And it's a fun time. I've taken pictures at their event before, and they get a lot of people there. The benefits, the proceeds go to the Rod and Gun Club for their programs. They're very environmentally and conservation-minded people, hunters and fishermen. So we got another 2 weeks of that. And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. There'll be curling tournaments coming up in the future, and running continues, but things slow down a little bit, but there's still plenty to do.
Still very much the need is there for all these different charities. When you talk and you listen to all the different events that you brought to everybody's attention, I don't think folks realize how many events are in our tri-state area to try to offset the family cost when people are kind of struggling, or whether it be through illness or something else. It truly is amazing how many people get involved.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm amazed at the little niche that I've carved out in sports-related fundraisers. That's just a tiny fraction of all the fundraisers that are going on everywhere, not just in our towns or in our tri-state area, but everywhere. All the spaghetti dinners and chili cook-offs and chicken barbecues and beer and wine tastings and house tours and all the fundraising that goes on, all geared towards addressing all of our needs, you know, the arts, hunger, housing, all the full gamut. When you look at the need, it can be depressing, but when you look at the number of agencies and individuals who are addressing those needs, it's quite heartening. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of need, but we have a lot of resources to match that need. So that's the heartening part.
Okay, now Sporting a Cause website and phone number and everything, Willie, because it sounds like people are starting to use both the site and the phone number.
Yeah, they are. And what makes me hopeful is a lot of people go to the site through organic search, which means they're just Googling events and so forth and ending up on my website. So that's good, too. That means that the system is working, so to speak. But it's sportingacause.com. If you want to get in touch with me, the best way probably is through email. Go to the website or just email me at willie@sportingacause.com. That's Willie with an I-E on the end, sporting@sportingacause.com. Call me for any reason. You can comment on a blog that I write weekly where I get into the nonprofit world a little more deeply than I can in the calendar items on the website, or let me know of an event that's coming up that I might not have heard of. There are like 325, I think, events now on the site, but one of my challenges is finding out about other ones because I don't want to miss any. I want to promote them all.
Absolutely. So if you did have an event, just go to your website, and there's a way to do that?
You can email me at willie@sportingacause.com. You can call me at my home number. That's 860-824-5243. I think my number's there on the Contact Us page of the website. Love to hear from you.
All right. Well, sounds fun. And so you're going to do a weekly thing with Marshall?
Yes. Yeah, he's been gracious enough to let me continue.
Now, is that a certain day every week?
Every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I think he's going to allow me the 10 minutes, 10 or 12 minutes, I'm not sure which it'll be, to give a rundown on upcoming events. And I think he said he's going to rebroadcast it on Mondays as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. It's very... very kind of him.
Well,
I truly appreciate it.
I think that's when I heard it was, I want to say, it was. Well, it couldn't have been Monday, because I was just getting back on Monday, right? Or was I here Monday?
No.
No, we flew back on Monday. It had to be, it was one other day this week that you were on, and I heard it. That's why I commented on it. But that's very good.
Every Monday or Tuesday on the morning show, as well as being on a Sunday.
Monday or Tuesday, you're going to be on.
That's great. I truly appreciate it.
So, that's good. And I haven't heard from Jeannie Salader since the Fall Festival. Did she hurt herself tearing down the scarecrows or what?
No. In fact, I think you'll be hearing from her this morning, as I remember our last communication. Yeah? Well, you know, you haven't been around either. I mean, you weren't here last weekend.
I wasn't here last weekend.
Okay, well,
Willie.
See, that's a...
one day I wasn't here.
That creates a two-week gap, you see.
Oh,
you're not
weekend.
Here one weekend. That means the previous weekend you heard from her, and it wouldn't be until this weekend. So, you know, it's a half-a-month span.
Well, I think she hasn't called in 3 weeks.
She hasn't called in.
The last time she called was when they did the actual Fall Festival.
That's right.
Is that right?
Well, so we're calling her out.
I won't answer for her. I'll let she's very capable of speaking for herself.
She is,
so
yeah.
I'll let her do that.
Yeah, the only problem is we don't have one of those buttons here. You know, that we can bleep her.
Yeah.
Because we could probably aggravate her.
I'm sure.
Anyway, sportingacause.com. Great job, Willie, and much needed for the community. And I'm just glad to see that the community's using it.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful as well. And you're going to be on next weekend too, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We'll
all
be
right
here next weekend.
I'll darken your airwaves again next weekend.
All right. It sounds like a plan. And that Ed McGuire run, that really was just a brainchild of somebody after his passing, and it's raised a lot of money for a lot of good causes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it benefits mostly it benefits the Falls Village Volunteer Fire Company.
Right.
Ed was the chief there for a number of years and involved forever, also as a community member. He was involved in all kinds of things. So, yeah, it's a good tribute. I mean, it's we're immortal as long as we're remembered, and that's a good way to remember him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Willie.
Okay, Dave. I'm going to keep listening because I want to hear Christine and the ladies talk about Alzheimer's.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, you listen to Hometown Sunday Morning here on Robin Hood Radio. Don't forget a couple of pancake breakfasts locally. American Legion Post 178 has another, it's 10 minutes. No, it's not 10 minutes of 11 already. It's 10 minutes of 10.
It's
so we have about another hour.
Savings,
right, we have another hour at both the American Legion Pulse 178 in Millerton for their monthly pancake breakfast, and also the VFW Pulse 5444 down in Dover Plains, New York, has their breakfast until 11 a.m. also. So get out and thank a veteran. So that being said, we're going to play a tune, take us to the top of the hour, and then if everybody's on schedule, we'll be talking about dementia for a little bit shortly after the top of the hour. Or if they're not in their seats, I'll preview the bowling team and the story behind the bowling team that I'm going to put in the Cove next weekend.
An old country boy that me can't have. Early to rise and early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. A simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. These are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, up and cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. All done and the sun's setting low. I pull out my fiddle and I'm rising up my bow. But the kids are asleep, so I keep it kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. And I play Sally Gooden all day if I could. But the Lord and my wife wouldn't take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Yeah, I got me a fine wife, I got me a fiddle. The sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Here we go. Well, I wouldn't trade my life for diamonds or jewels. I never was one of them money-hungry fools. Rather have my farm, a fiddle, and tools. But thank God I'm a country boy. With the city folk driving in a black limousine. A lot of sad people thinking that's a mighty key. People, let me tell you exactly. I mean, thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got the little. And my son's coming up, the cake's on the middle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Bring it down. You see, my fiddle was my daddy's till the day he died. He took me by the hand, held me close to his side. He said, live a good life, play your fiddle with pride. And thank God you're a country boy. Yeah, my daddy taught me young, not a hunt, not a widow. Taught me how to work and play a tune on the fiddle. Taught me how to love, how to give just a little. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me a fiddle. The sun's coming up, it takes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. I thank God I'm a country boy.
Misty sunrise in my hometown, rows of cotton about knee high. Mrs. Baker down the dirt road, still got clothes out on the line. Irwin Nichols there with Judge Lee, playing checkers at the gym. When I dream about the Southland, this is where it all begins. From Carolina down to Georgia, smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama, Roll Tide roll. Muddy water, Mississippi, blessed Graceland whispers to me. Carry on, carry on, sweet southern comfort, carry on.
Carry
catching catfish on the river, chasing fireflies by the creek, kissing Gary Williams' sister on the porch homecoming week, with rusty cars and weeping willows, keeping watch out in the yard. Just a snapshot of down home Dixie, could be anywhere you are, in Carolina or in Georgia. Open arms are waiting for you. Louisiana, yellow rose of San Antonio. Arkansas, Mississippi, old man river whispers to me. Carry on, carry on, sweet southern comfort. I sit here, I'm surrounded by these priceless memories. I don't have to think about it. There's no place I'd rather be than Carolina or in Georgia. Smell the jasmine and magnolia. Sleepy sweet home, Alabama.
Mile to prove I'm all wrong. Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
And I'm NASCAR Dave. Welcome back to Hometown Sunday Morning. I just got a picture of a group of listeners down in, I guess it's Wasake, or I don't know what they call it, Wasake. And they're sitting around having a, looks like they got a deck of cards and some potato chips. And but I bet that other gentleman in the camouflage hat could probably be the fifth bowler in that team that we're going to put up at the Cove Lanes. Looks like he might fit right in with the other ones. Anyway, joining us in the studio this morning, I want to thank them guys for listening this morning, and of course all the other listeners that we have, the other 2.5. maybe 3. I don't know if Larry's got... He had to go to the pharmacy.
I thought we had 7.
Well, I don't know. If Larry has his radio off, he's probably not listening. So, anyway, joining us in the studio again are some folks from Noble Horizons to tell us a couple of things about the dementia unit and also the walk that they recently had, which I'm sure Willie would be interested in because I know he promoted the walk in the beginning, and we're going to find out how much money the Noble team had raised. What was the name of your team, Linda?
Horizon Hikers.
Horizon Hikers. I almost had it on the top of my head. Anyway, joining us once again are Linda Olowski and Chris, my wife, Chris. And good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
So, Linda, let's first talk about the walk.
The walk was wonderful. What a beautiful venue for it, first of all, at White Memorial. Horizon Hikers showed up in on force. We ended up raising over $2,600.
Wow.
We started with a $2,000 goal, so we're really pleased with having surpassed that.
And how many hikers did you have?
On our team, there was probably about 14 that showed up.
Wow.
I'm thinking. All totaled walkers, there was about 600 walkers for the day, which was under what we would have liked to have seen, but all in all, I think it was a good turnout. All totaled for the Litchfield Walk, they raised over $81,000.
Incredible.
Yeah, really. The state of Connecticut, you know, the walks were going on all early September, maybe late August through October. The last total I saw was $1.5 million.
Now, that's all for Alzheimer's research?
All for the Alzheimer's Association.
Wow.
For research and education.
Just the Connecticut.
Just the
group.
Connecticut, yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you guys, your team raised $2,600.
We did. So thank you to everyone.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I'm really pleased. That was great.
So how far did you walk?
Personally, I didn't.
Okay. Well, but, you said you didn't have to.
Well, I was actually running around manning some booths and helping with some other stuff, so that's okay. But I think they walked it's a 2-mile loop all totaled.
Nice.
Yeah. Very pleasant.
And
Evan,
you know, Willie has talked about, he's been out to a couple of different walks and said, what a beautiful location to hold a walk-a-thon to raise money for any kind of cause.
Right. There's just so much room to spread out, have all the tents that we need, the setup for the band, all the food trucks that were there. It's such a nice day for families. You know, a lot of children, people with their dogs taking the walk. It was really nice.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
you. That's good news.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about what's been going on with the dementia unit at Noble. I see couple of new things. I think the last time we didn't we harass the new administrator about not having the desk cut down the size, but I see now that that's been modified. And in my mind, when you walk in there now, you can see everything. I mean, you can see nurses on the other side of the what used to be a wall, and it really opened it up. I love it. It's more. I think it's more inviting to the patients because I've talked to some of the some of the residents there, and they love it. They love it.
Yeah, I think that's the most important point, is it lightens and brightens the whole area for the residents.
It.
And the staff can see the residents without having to be standing.
Stand up.
They can be sitting and doing their charting and still have good eyes on.
So what else have we done?
We've done the aquarium.
Oh, you got an aquarium in the wall there.
Yep.
We have two kinds of fish now. So we're
getting,
Yep. We only had one kind for a couple weeks, and now they have to bring them in and not all at once.
Yeah.
So do the residents seem to like the aquarium?
They love it. They love the colors. I'm not sure if they're so interested in the fish, but the color of the tank and all the little all the stuff that's going
different shades.
Yeah, all the bright colors really attract them. And the fish tank was courtesy of our auxiliary, which, you know, big shout out to them. They funded that purchase for us, and not only just the aquarium, but there was some construction needed for that. So, you know, we had to put a hole in the wall and frame it out nicely, and great job done. So shout out to them for always being such a great support to Noble.
Nice. No, it does look good, though. I like that touch. Mm-hmm. And so the unit is basically full, from what I hear.
Not only the unit, the building.
The whole complex is full.
The whole complex is full, yeah.
Wow.
That's first time in 3 years, is my understanding.
Now, does that include the cottages, too, or is that separate?
The cottages are separate, but to my understanding, they're full.
They're full
with
also.
With quite a waiting list, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's back like the old days.
It seems so.
Well, there used to be one. When we first moved here, there used to be a waiting list for every unit.
I can understand it. I understand why. Mm-hmm. It's a great complex, beautiful campus, great care. What more could you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So what's on the horizons for the dementia units?
Well, we're still we got some recliner chairs, new recliner chairs, and I think are they still working on the dining room piece?
They're still working on the dining room piece.
What's the dining room piece?
Well, I think we're going to do some construction in there and just update stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
The plan over the next year is update. It's, you know, just some refreshing of the unit. I think probably the next big thing will be new doors to access the unit from the other unit. The contractor was out on Friday measuring, so we're excited about that.
Now, the one room, what do you call that room where all the comfortable chairs and stuff are?
Oh, the lounge?
Yeah, the little lounge where they go in and sit.
Right.
That's really become popular, hasn't it?
Oh, the snoozling room?
The snoozling room. Oh, yeah, yeah. We have probably five or six residents that go in there every day, and it's really nice. You could fall asleep in there.
Nice.
Everybody likes it.
So those new ideas, that we hadn't had them in the past, so everything you've done has made it more pleasant for the residents.
We're marching along, trying to keep with the updates, keep looking ahead at what the research is showing us to do, and we'll keep doing that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now you have a luncheon today.
We have our...
Talk to us about the luncheon, because that's... Chris has said it goes on every year, but it's first time.
No, I think it's every...
It's quarterly.
Quarterly. I had never heard of it.
Yeah. It's our family association or family council, some buildings refer to it. And it's an opportunity for families to come get together with typically myself and any other department heads they wish to have there, to give them an opportunity to talk about their concerns, if they have any. Certainly an opportunity for us to talk directly with families, give them updates as to what's going on at Noble. What I'm really looking forward to today is that Chris will be there, and her replacement, Jessica Boardman, will be there. Gives us an opportunity to thank Chris. I have a huge hunch that as much as this area is going to miss NASCAR Dave when you all move to Florida, you have no idea how much we're going to miss Chris. She has been just an amazing asset, especially to the Wittrich unit, but certainly all of Noble, and she's going to be sorely missed. So it gives us an opportunity to have a nice luncheon and thank her for all she's done and welcome Jessica to her new position.
Good.
Yep.
So that takes off at noontime?
That takes off at noontime today.
So you girls have a busy morning.
We do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. So you'll continue to do the walk from year to year, Linda?
We will continue to do the walk. My understanding is that there's a couple of dates being suggested for next year's walk. It's either going to be the weekend after Labor Day, which I think might be September 8th, or Columbus Day weekend. I think those are our two available weekends.
Nice.
So we'll, you know, stay tuned. We'll hear more when that's going to be, and we'll start our fundraising sooner than later.
Good.
Yep.
That's a good thing. Now, are you going to continue to do that? The last time you're here, you talked about the yearly track that you and your sister-in-law take to talk to researchers mm-hmm. about the disease.
We go specifically to Washington, D.C. every year for an annual conference that's all about Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the disease my brother died of. We will absolutely keep doing that. Every May, we sponsor a golf tournament in his memory. We raise money for research. So when we go to the conference, we actually hear from the researchers that we've helped fund.
And where do you hold this golf tournament?
We host it on Cape Cod, typically in the Orleans area. Depends on what golf course is available and willing to host us.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many golfers do you get?
I think they cap out at 180.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a big lot. Tournament.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Big dinner afterwards. Big,
so, I mean,
big
you, raise some serious funds then.
We do. We do. My brother also has a charitable giving foundation in his honor. So some of the money that we raise goes for the research, as I said, and some of the money raised goes to fund the charitable giving foundation, which supports a lot of different different things that are going on in the specifically East Ham Orleans area on Cape Cod.
Now, is that where he lived?
That is.
Okay. So that makes total sense why the golf tournament's out there.
Right, right, yeah.
So you got to figure this all out as you go.
I'm sorry, yes,
no,
you do.
It's all right. No, that's, wow. Well, typically golf tournaments around here get 100, and yeah. they raise some pretty serious money. I can't imagine what something like your tournament must raise. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great day.
So each year when you go to this conference, you and your sister, Laura, are you happy with the research that's going on with that particular form of the disease, or do you think they're stalled? Or, well, I mean, what kind of feel do you get?
I always come away feeling like my brain has gotten fatter. It's amazing the research that's out there, and I think what's so important for me in my role and what I do on a day-to-day basis is the research that's done specifically for Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It funnels over to all other forms of cognitive loss and neurocognitive diseases. So if they're finding something that's going to work for one, it's giving them a clue that it might work for another. Same goes for the research into Alzheimer's disease. So they're all great causes, and I do come away feeling very, I'd have to say, optimistic.
Now, typically, how many researchers are there at a conference like this? Is there hundreds? Or
No. The research numbers are probably maybe 8 different researchers from around the world.
Wow.
But then there's also people like the head of the CDC are there. The head of the National Prion Institute is there. The head of the Prion Institute from Alberta, Canada is there. From the United Kingdom, their folks are there because it's, you know, it's worldwide. So everyone has a stake in it. So they're all there to help with the conference, and we get feedback from all of them, not just the researchers.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a good deal.
It's a great deal.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if they'll ever find a cure for it, but...
Well, I think they will.
Yeah.
Eventually, somebody will come on to something that makes it not as bad or, you know... Mm-hmm. Is degenerative or whatever you call it, but wow.
Well, it's all baby steps. You know, that's the nature of research. At one point in time, they didn't know anything about it. Then they discovered this protein that was floating around the brain that seemed abnormal. Then they discovered that it was a protein that had folded inappropriately. So they start looking at pathogens as to why. So every year, a different researcher takes a different leg of it and takes it one step further.
Nice.
Yeah. It's very interesting.
Well, great job. So if somebody has a loved one in a community that they think may have some what they consider symptoms of early stage dementia or something like that, is there any way they could contact you and you could put them into put them in contact with the with the right people to help them through that those steps, or what's the best way to do that?
Well, I'm always available for questions. Absolutely, if somebody just wants to talk about it, they can certainly contact me at Noble, 860-435-4537. Or is it 4357?
No, it's 4537.
4537. Thanks, Chris. I needed the help. But they can always contact me. I'm happy to talk to them about symptoms and stuff. But again, I would always recommend that if you have any concern, if you see any changes in a loved one, whether it's personality-driven, apathy, memory loss, repetitiveness, talk to your primary care physician about it. Start right there. That's really the best resource. I'm always there for support as well.
Okay. Anything else, girls?
Oh, we have to talk about the Festival of Lights.
Yes.
Oh, the Festival of Trees are coming up.
Now, listen, we had the last time we had a two-page cheat sheet. Now we did a little scenario here before we went on the air about what we were going to talk about, and the Festival of Trees was on there, and we all forgot it sitting here.
Sorry.
All right, we got to call our
phone number. Come
let's
on.
Call our primary care physician right now because
we're losing it.
Noble for years has always done a Festival of Trees.
Right. Again, that's the auxiliary helping Noble with fundraising. Great group of people, very dedicated, come together every year to put on this, what I understand to be a great event. I'm very excited about it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's what I'm told. It's beautiful.
So what is it? I mean, decorate trees?
Yep, decorate trees, wreaths, centerpieces. There'll be gift baskets. All are up for silent auction. It opens November 17th.
I think so.
Through December 1st. It's open, free admission to the public every day, noon until 4, Fridays and Saturdays, noon to 6. The big gala event is December 1st. That runs from 5 to 7 p.m. It's $35 per person. But my understanding is it's just beautiful, and it's a big fundraiser for Noble residents.
Actually, some of the local schools bring their kids through. That's
oh,
how.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Yeah. And then they auction off the tree, so it's amazing what people put together with that kind of stuff.
Yep. This year the theme is Christmas around the world, so I'm putting together a little Christmas tree that's decorated in a Polish tradition.
Nice.
Yeah, it should be pretty fun.
Now, what is the Polish tradition on Christmas trees?
I had to ask you. Yeah,
that.
I knew you were going to ask. I should be more prepared for this.
Maybe Bruce Scott could tell us.
Maybe. Doing the little bit of research that I did, I found that there's a lot of cut paper, a lot of pretty Christmas ornaments on it, of course. One of the Christmas traditions we have is what's called an oplotki. That's a wafer similar to a communion wafer is the best analogy I can think of. But that's just a Christmas tradition we share, where we go around to everyone that's gathered around our Christmas table for a festive Christmas dinner, and we share a piece of our wafer with everyone. There's a lot of smooching and hugging and best wishes given to everybody. It's pretty fun. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. It's a good time.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
We're going to have to. When we come back to visit and we come back on the air, we're going to have a cheat sheet again. That's all there is to it.
Well, yeah. You think Marshall's going to let us back on the air on a Sunday when we come back to visit?
Well, you might want to ask him. I don't know.
Oh,
probably
not.
He'll probably throw us right off.
No, I
don't
think so.
He'll say no. I don't blame him either. Anyway, Linda, once again, your phone number at Noble?
Once again, 860-435-4537.
Okay, and great job with what's been going on with the dementia unit over there.
I think
when we talked last time, we talked about how many people are being affected by it and what the statistics say in the near future. And it's not going to be pretty, and we have to be geared up to handle the volume of folks that are going to have one form or another of dementia. So. Sounds like Noble is on top of it, and that's always a good thing.
It is.
And congratulations on
there.
A full house. That's
Thank you.
That's truly phenomenal. That's a good job.
Good job to all the nurses there.
Well, it's a good job for everybody. I mean, when you have a full house, it's because everybody, the house cleaners, the pot washers, the kitchen staff, the maintenance staff, everybody. So the aides. Great job by everybody over there. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Don't forget my charger.
I won't.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right. Once again, you're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning here. Let's play a tune, and then we'll be right back, I believe, with Billy Anstead, who probably wants to talk about Sunday in a Country Food Drive. As in 2 weeks from yesterday, the food distribution is going to be taking place. So we're going to talk about what's going on next Saturday with the food drive, along with numbers of what these pantries have been asking us for again this year. And we'll pin Billy down on his first time running the show. Doing a great job, by the way. So we'll be right back after this short pause. Once again, you're listening to us on Robin Hood Radio.
Barely last.
Mr. George Strait. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wilde.
And I'm NASCAR Dave. Welcome back to Hometown Sunday Morning. Is Billy on? Oh, okay. I thought Bill was going to call.
No, Billy.
That's all right.
That's all right. We'll spin off.
Yeah, we can spin off as we await him to call, and we'll talk about the food drive. Anyway, don't forget a couple of pancake breakfasts going on, Chad, if you just want to mention those again, because they run until 11.
Sure. Okay, so we have the American Legion Post 178 is hosting their monthly pancake breakfast, as Dave said, for another half an hour. Its location is at 155 Route 44. The menu includes pancakes, French toast, syrup, sausage, bacon, eggs, home fries, toast, coffee, hot chocolate, and tea. Eat in or take out. Price is $8 for adults and $6 for children, 12 and under, and seniors. Mm-hmm. Proceeds go to multiple Legion projects and initiatives, including youth and children's activities and the Post-Wounded Warrior Fund, which assists local veterans in need. And that's all I have for breakfasts.
Okay.
How about lunch?
No lunches? That's all right. And the turkey shoot. Do the turkey shoot.
Okay. The Northwest Connecticut Rod and Gun Club Turkey Shoot is holding their shoot this morning at 148 South Canaan Road. No, folks, they're not shooting turkeys. They're just shooting paper targets where the best marksman or woman can win turkeys and other prizes. This is a family event. Children can participate if accompanied by an adult. There is no pre-registration. Just show up and shoot.
Cool. So we have a guest in the studio. If he wants to come in, we can talk to the commander, right?
We sure can. Here he comes.
All right. He's on his way in the door as we speak. Well, he was coming in. It's a long way over here, huh? Commander, either one.
How are you?
I'm good, bud. How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
So, I'm not sure your last name, Commander Kirk.
It's so, Kirk Harrington.
Harrington. Hold on. I'll get these turned up.
I like how you're doing this with the over the hat.
You like that better?
That's better.
Can you hear me all right?
I don't hear anything at all.
You don't? Well, here, let me turn it up for you. Is that better?
I still don't hear you.
You still don't hear me?
It's the last one over there.
Oh, so, well, you know why? Because I'm turning the wrong one.
Backwards.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's coming up now, I bet.
Not yet.
No.
No, I'm hearing you. No.
Wow. You must be a radio guy. Yours is really high volume. Yeah. See, that's the... That's
probably the, can't hear very
that's
well.
That's the sign of a real radio guy, because you blow your ears out. Yeah, we got it now, Chad. We're under control, hopefully. So, Commander, you're in charge of the VFW post in Canaan.
Correct.
And how long have you been a commander there?
I joined the post in 2010. I transferred in from Arizona, commander in 2012 to current day.
And you've done some tremendous thing with that, with the facilities there. You and a group of folks. I mean, you guys physically have transformed that to what it was in its former past.
It was the very first meeting that we had. All the members that were there, a lot of Vietnam vets, and I just kind of called each one out. Tom Gales, do you mow your lawn? Yes. Mo Spadassini, do you paint your house? Yes. Where are you going with this? Beggar, Bagnasi, Butch, you seem to have a nice yard. Looks like you take care of it, the gardens. They finally asked me, Commander, where are we going with this? I said, well, here's the thing. Every time someone comes by our post in the area, it's falling apart. Every one of you takes care of your own home. We need to take care of this building and bring it back to what it used to be under World War II vets and World War I vets that helped build it. They all jumped on board, and every one of them has pitched in and helped as volunteers. And now we have that post looking, well, remarkably better than it had. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, remarkably better, but you brought back programs that hadn't been done there in a long time either. I mean, community programs. I know you did a Santa Claus thing last year. You've done different things throughout the course of your tenure.
One of the biggest things I think that we've done is not only the health of the building, but the health of the veteran, him and herself. We take veterans to the VA hospitals to their first appointments. Last year I did 78 packets alone on just veterans, signing them up for VA. They were so tired of the morass and trying to get through the issues of bureaucracy that we sit down on Sunday mornings with their spouse, most likely their spouse is available to come down as well, and we do the paperwork. Then we take care of them and follow through that they're still going to their appointments. We look at life after, should they go to a different place in the world, that being passing away, we make sure the spouse is taken care of as well. And I think that's been the biggest change for these guys and gals down at the VFW. Besides the aesthetic of the building and how it looks and the grounds, those are wonderful, but it's what's happening inside that building that I think most veterans to a man or a woman would say that we've really come to play in the right direction.
I have a question that do you overstep state lines in representing a VFW veteran's funeral?
We have, and because we're so active, the budgets have been cut here in the state of Connecticut, and we've gone out to New York State. We've gone to Massachusetts only because there was a need, whether it be an honor guard or a salute. But with the veterans themselves, to give you another point, one day I was called, and it was a couple from Vermont that heard that we were doing these paperwork, this packets for the paperwork for the VA. And I told them if they want to come down Sunday morning, I'm usually there early enough, and they did. And the word got out from more and more of the tri-state and even further up until Maine. We had an individual come down last year. So the word got out that this post was helping out with a lot of veterans and their issues, and that's been critical. It's been helpful for me, and I think it's banded together with the folks inside the post. A lot of them had turned it into just a drinking bar. We do have a canteen, and it does support the post, but I think you see more and more guys, certainly our Vietnam vets, that have that solitude and that solace. They can come down, sit outside, sit inside, not be hassled, not be bothered, and they might have a cup of coffee or they bring their own iced tea, but they have a place to go to, and I think that's been the healing aspect of it. And we're asked to do these funerals. Our guys are getting older as well. We're trying to get that next man in. I suspect that's going to happen with you, Dave, as we always do. There's always someone that has to fill a position of someone that leaves. And when it comes to funerals, we have wonderful, wonderful, kind people that go out and do these things on their own time and volition. And that's been another great aspect of our post.
Well, I think your honor guard when you go to funerals is probably one of the best in Connecticut, if not the best in the tri-state area for sure. I've seen Nick Gandolfo's on that. I mean,
yes.
I've seen him at numerous funerals, and I'll tell you what, they're spot on.
Well, that's
I mean, it's such an honor.
That's why you say that non-commissioned officers, NCOs lead the way, and I think you see it when you, you know, Chris Sorrell, who's also a state trooper and is a Marine, they really get together and they practice and they go out, and Carl Crump and obviously Nick Gandolfo, one of our cherished veterans of the Korean War, they do care about what they're doing. And, you know, we've lost some people over the years from that unit, Brian Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been tough because we've had to fill it, and that's what we do. So the show must go on.
Do you have any World War II vets left in your post?
We have 9 World War II vets left.
9.
I've got 8 Korean War veterans left. In fact, our oldest is Isidore Izzy Tadiello.
Less Korean than World War II. That's wow.
Izzy's going to be 97 this year. He might be one of the last Pearl Harbor survivors in the state of Connecticut. I think he is the last, and he's very close to being the last in the Northeast. I know that as well. But again, they're a cherished guy that, you know, one day in 1954, the Sagalas and the Lotzes of the world, and they got together and they decided we need a place for veteran community and for ourselves. And that first block was laid, and electricity was done by veterans. The plumbing was done by the veterans, and it still is to this day. And that institutional knowledge goes back so many years, and from that, the generations that have played off of that. It's been incredible just to watch the families. And I saw Brian Oler out in the street. He's also one of our members. You know, his family was Sagala as well. So you've got guys that got together in the mid-50s and built this building. And as you see it today, there's been some changes, obviously, from the outside in and inside out. But I think they're very, very pleasantly surprised when they come down and visit their own post that they had a key measure of respect for and to build that post to what it is today.
Yeah.
I've noticed that the few times I've been over there that you can go in there and it's actually there are veterans, unlike, as you said, an open bar society. And that means a lot to individuals like myself and others that have served. You commingle with veterans. You can talk about things to a veteran on veteran that you don't want to talk to him or her about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. You understand that.
We do. I mean, that's why you have guys like Steve Bergeni, and you have guys that like Jim Smith, that if anybody needs a ride someplace, they're always there. And, you know, and Ed Osborne, and, you know, these guys are incredible. And yeah, they can peel off and do a one-on-one communication and talk to each other, and I think that's been another aspect. When you walk in the door, it used to be the music would stop and people would turn and see who's coming in, and I think that change has happened where you open the door, hello, how are you, where are you from, mm-hmm. if they're not from the area, versus they just sit down and never communicate with anyone. I think that's been a great, great change for the community.
Veterans know instinctively who another veteran is once they walk in.
For the most part,
yeah.
You know, but we have so many with the museum, the Hall of Heroes, we've called it, the museum down there that you saw last year.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's impressive.
To walk in and see that, and the young kids that see it from, you know, the schools, the Cub Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, they can see the history and the lineage of the names on the wall, and they can look back and they can find out that great-great-grandfather's up here. And that's neat for those children to see that as well, and adults included.
And it's a part of history that they can't find anywhere else anymore.
No.
They could if they probably went to some big, huge museum. But, I mean, to see it in your own town and put names to different artifacts and stuff, it's pretty wild.
That's true. I mean, and also you look at the outgoing support of family members that the deceased of veterans that have gone in the last even 20 years. We still get donations from... Bev King is one, you know, sending a donation every year in honor of her husband, who passed probably 20 years ago.
Nice.
And that's the community that goes out because they remember the minstrel shows, the spaghetti dinners, the dances, all those things that happened, and then it kind of stopped for a while. And bringing that back has been a neat thing for some of these older members to see as well.
Well, and you're doing it a different way, too. You built that outside pavilion. You've got a stage now. You're bringing in music. You've got the car shows once a week. I mean, good programs.
It is.
And, you know, it's basically, I guess it's free to go to these some of these events, just buy a hamburger or something to drink or something
that's
like
it.
That.
Yep, they can
that's
go right
all
in.
You got to do.
Bring a blanket or there's picnic tables out there. We have a lot of folks that do it, and that's been great support from businesses and the communities. Not just Canaan, but Falls Village, Salisbury, Lakeville, even over to Millerton.
Yeah.
So you've got some great support of companies and businesses, and that's been a big, big benefit for us.
So how many more years are you going to be the commander, Chief?
I got a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. I've been thinking about that. That's a tougher. That's the toughest company I ever ran.
Yeah, I bet.
And I'm not winning the battles half the time.
I'll get used to it.
It's going to get worse instead of better, I'm afraid.
Wonderful wife, Cynthia, who's just incredible with the kids and certainly with the veterans community as well. She's our auxiliary that was picked up. It had been men's auxiliary, and then it was also a ladies' auxiliary. And one day they decided to combine the national office to have all the auxiliaries combined together to call it an auxiliary. So that can be men and women on the same team. And that's another force multiplier for our veteran community. We were 88 people when I took over in 2012. We're at 162 right now. Again, we didn't have a lot of apples to pick from. I mean, the veterans that were Vietnam vet were drafted. A lot of the kids that didn't go into the military in the last 20 years, we're looking at a number that's dwindling. And I mentioned next man in earlier. That is important because you've got institutional knowledge of guys in the kitchen doing spaghetti dinners, the breakfast that you helped us with last year, incredible donations on your behalf. They look over their shoulder and they see a younger guy there and they wonder what's going on. So they come and see me, the commander. And I say, you know, one day you were helping somebody to learn what they were doing. And we've got this next man in cause where there's a young buck right there learning what you're doing on the grill and how you're doing the kitchen and how all the things that you need to know. And they get it. They understand it.
Good.
We're not going to live forever. We know that. So the generations that take this post down the reins of the post, and the folks that take care of in the community are seeing it done now, and I think that'll transfer over to the new generation.
Good for you.
I think so. If it's done right the way you're doing it, it will work. There's different posts in different states that don't do it that way, and you see the interest dwindling amongst veterans, but you guys are doing it first class, and
well, thank you.
Outstanding.
Now, are you going to do that breakfast again this year?
Here's what we're going to do. So, you're leaving us, I understand.
Well, the breakfast can still go on. I've got contact with somebody right now. I can make one phone call, and I guarantee the food will be donated again.
You know, Gina left. She's gone. Gina's gone to South Carolina.
I heard that.
I don't know how she got her passport.
Because
we built an outdoor concession area, we're going to take this on a little bit differently this year. We'd like to do the breakfast, but I also want to do, starting December 1st, which is a Saturday, every Saturday, that concession area will be open, kind of like a Santa's Village. They'll be able to come by with the kids, and there'll be hot chocolate and apple cider and donuts. It'll happen every Saturday for 2 or 3 hours.
Really?
And we'll make a list, and then we'll check that twice, the colonel will, and find out what kind of gifts are needed for the area.
Nice.
So instead of just doing one giant pancake breakfast,
yep,
we're gonna keep it going every Saturday for at least a couple of hours. We haven't got the hours down yet. I'll get back and figure that out, either from 10 to 1 or maybe even until 2 o'clock. We're not quite sure. But it'll allow the families to come in. They can get free coffee, donuts, rolls made by the auxiliary, and leave their name and a wish list of things they'd like to have. Obviously, donations can be taking place every time that's open on Saturday, and any time at the post.
Yeah, because that was a huge part of that breakfast.
Incredible.
Falls Village brought a fire truck up, and
they
put all the gifts in the fire truck. So, I mean, and then you found homes for homes for all those. So, I mean, it's another important thing that needs to be done in a community.
I agree.
Now, you said Sunday mornings, I assume you're directly involved in this, coordinating amongst veterans with their concerns about the VA benefits, etc. Because there's a few people I know that are in that boat. There's a ridiculous cutoff point. If you got a married couple that's making $50,000 or something, then you're not qualified for VA benefits now. That's the way the VA cuts it, cut and dry. But I see, what's the difference if you're a millionaire or you're a $10,000 a year wage earner? You go in the military and you put your life on the line, you spend years of your life. What's the difference whether why shouldn't a millionaire receive benefits as well as the person who's making the low income?
Excellent point, and here's what I tell the guys and gals that fill out the forms when we help them do it. Don't put the money down. If you have a house or a mutual funds or anything else, as you just alluded to, you served your country. The country needs to serve you as well in this afterlife and as Absolutely. You go into the afterlife. And there's no reason, as you say, whether you come from a lot of money or have a great job, it means it's immaterial to me. If you served, you have every right to go to the VA, and they can give you percentages if you're hearing almost anything, up to 100%. I mean, there's something that if you served, who cares what your bank account is?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I've told our veterans, don't even fill that section out. Let me deal with that. Because they get nervous. They think, well, if I had to go get my checking account and figure out my numbers.
I've got a buddy I'll bring over to meet you some morning.
Love to have him. We do it a lot of it on Sundays. I'm there almost every day. And we don't open until 11:30. But certainly if they want to come and make arrangements to meet with me, I can do it one-on-one.
It'll be after deer season.
After deer season.
After deer season. Yeah, everything's after deer season now.
We have like 12 of us, three-quarters of us are veterans that get together for 2 weeks, stay in the hills, and we look forward to it, and we can unwind in a different perspective than you would around a civilian population, and you know where right. I'm going there.
Well, I wanted to point out, too, since I'm here, and I don't know if you're going to ask that question or not, but there was a few things happening. The 11th of November coming up is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. It's a critical, critical time, not only for the Buddy Poppy that we sell. People think that poppy is just you see an old guy standing outside of a grocery store and you wonder why your mom and mother just put in a dollar for a poppy. I wish there was more knowledge on that, and I've got Chad. I've asked Chad inside, maybe pull one of our members, by the way, Chad Wilde, does a great job here, to maybe pull off the explanation of the Buddy Poppy. I can give you a few things of it. But with the World War I generation that's now gone, the legacy of the war to end all wars, the 100th anniversary, why it's on the 11th day, the 11th month, and the 11th hour, that was the day of the armistice being signed. So at the Doughboy in North Canaan next Sunday, the 11th, we will have our honor guard out there, Nick Gandolfo and the rest of his team, to be able to honor the veterans and of World War I and all veterans. And we'll go back to the VFW. Gear has a bus coming with a lot of their World War II vets that are up there. They'll come down again and sit in our Hall of Heroes, which is our museum, for some refreshments and snacks and whatnot. And then that night we do a free spaghetti dinner for all veterans and their families at 6 o'clock at the post. But it's very critical to let a young man and a woman know what that poppy signifies and what it means to a veteran community. Of course, the great poem everyone knows about in Flanders Fields. But this poppy is something that we lack what the United Kingdom has done with that poppy. And this past year, I decided to reach out to a few posts in the United Kingdom, almost like a sister relationship. So they're like American Legion over there. We're VFW here, but they're the same. All veterans are included. They treat that poppy much differently than we do. Their fundraisers will go at £125,000 for an event,
wow,
which is almost $130,000, oh, I man. Think. They go back to France. They go back to Belgium. And they march in those parades. And it's critical to remember, our land came from a man named Joe DeFerrari, who was a World War I vet. And the land was given to us back in the day. And because of that outside on our flagpole, it has DeFerrari family that donated the land to our post. All of that included the amount of names on our walls from World War I are still the same names you see today, certainly because of the family history and the legacies that are here. So it's 11-11-11. It's a big day to remember. We'll have, again, back at the post, and then after that, the dinner that night for the spaghetti dinner. And another great day for veterans themselves and the families to recognize in our Hall of Heroes the sacrifices that were made many generations ago, but in keeping with what we do today. We never stop serving, and that's most key.
In many places in Europe, highly respect those that fell over there. And like you said, and they're big events.
They are. They are.
Okay. What else you got going on, Hank?
Well, Commander's Dinner, but that's a private invite. I really can't get you now. You're leaving for Florida. So, with December 7th, we'll do the honoring of the Pearl Harbor. And again, Izzy Tadiello, who's will be there, one of our members. And it was to get into the holiday season. Certainly, I want to do a quick shout to Hotchkiss School. Every year they donate these wonderful turkeys to our veterans. They brine them for a week. They debone them. And not small turkeys. They're 20 to 25 pounds.
Wow.
They've offered it again this year, so I'll go over and pick those up. But the community, that's kind of what I'm getting at here. You have so many. We couldn't afford to do the things that we do down here at our post. And because of communities like having companies like Lindell's or you know, Harrington's or you name it, Tavernelli Cement. I mean, those are wonderful companies that donate their time and efforts to do what we need to do.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough.
No, thank you for coming in. I appreciate your time. And once again, what's the post number over there in case a veteran is listening and they may need some help? What's the best way to get a hold of somebody?
So Couch Pipe of Post, VFW Post 6851. The number is 860-824-8158. If you need to send me an email, it's vfw6851@yahoo.com.
Kirk Harrington.
Go on the internet.
That's all you got to do.
That's it.
Good job.
And you got it.
Great job, Kirk.
Thank
it's
you
been
very
a pleasure
much.
To know and you, and I'll stop and see you.
Thanks for all your support.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Once again, you're listening to Hometown Sunday Thanks Morning. Let's take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Take care. Alan Jackson, Midnight in Montgomery.
Midnight in Montgomery, Silver Eagle, lonely road. Was on my way to Mobile for a big New Year's Eve show. Stop for just a minute, see a friend outside of town. Put my collar up, I found his name. Felt the wind die down in a drunk man. Cowboy hat took me by surprise, wearing shiny boots, a nudie suit, and haunted eyes. He said, "Friend, it's good to see you. It's nice to know you care." Then the wind picked up, he was gone. Was he ever really there? 'Cause it's me. Just hear that whippoorwill, see the stars light up the purple sky, feel that lonesome chill. 'Cause when the wind is right, you'll hear his song, smell whiskey in the air. Midnight in Montgomery. He's always singing there. Well, I climbed back on that eagle, one last look around. Red tail lights, shadow moves slow across. Off somewhere, a midnight train slowly passing by. I could hear that whistle blow. I'm so lonesome I could cry. 'Cause it's midnight in Montgomery. Just here. When the wind is right, you hear his song.
he's always singing there. He's always singing there. Oh, Hank's always singing there.
It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and robinhoodradio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
What we did with the U-Haul is we went out around.
Out.
We went to...
We're live.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. Yeah, we went out and around. All right, joining us in the studio, welcome back to Hometown Sunday Morning. I want to thank Commander Kirk Harrington for coming in this morning. Joining us now is Brian Oler, and he's going to introduce a guest here in a minute. But Brian, Kirk has done he said you were a member of the VFW Post. I know you're a veteran and served our country. He's done a great job at the helm of the Post.
He has. He has really rejuvenated that post down there. And just all the remodeling and the increased membership, he's really brought new life into that post. And I had the honor of being the commander from 04 to 07 after my first tour in Iraq, and we were able to expand the museum down there. And if anyone has ever had a chance to go down to that post and see the museum from World War One to present day, it's amazing.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's worth a trip just to go see that.
Absolutely. And we have a patch collection for the unit patches, insignia for the military. And a couple people have come through of some real status and familiar with memorabilia, and they're pretty confident that it's the largest privately owned patch collection in the country.
Really?
We have space shuttle mission patches. We have all branches. It's the U.S. Marine Corps, who typically doesn't wear a patch, but we have all of the prior insignia that they used to wear. It's pretty amazing.
So now you've been, as a representative, you've been working closely with him with the veteran program and helping other veterans. You talked about it here a couple of weeks ago when you came in. And that program, those programs, you think they seem to be coming along.
They grow every year. And we collaborate on a number of issues, whether it's a clothing drive or a food drive, holding a number of different events. We had a stand down there last year, which is similar to what the state of Connecticut does. Every year at Rocky Hill at the Veterans Home, they have a stand down where veterans descend onto the Rocky Hill campus. And there's a number of providers down there for health information, insurance information, or just your everyday needs. And we tried to replicate that in Canaan last year, and we had an amazing outpouring of support. Stadium Systems, for instance, donated all of their excess clothing that they couldn't sell, or it was just an order overage that they all donated to us, and the veterans were very grateful.
So you're up against it. You guys have an election coming up on Tuesday. How are your campaign? Well, why don't you introduce this gentleman here so that we can get him in a conversation.
Well, we do have a big election coming up on Tuesday. We are not here for that purpose, though.
Oh, you're not?
This was a surprise to you.
Oh, okay.
your good friends that are surrounding us let us know that this is your second to last show, and certainly we're fully aware of all of the good deeds that you've done during your time here. And with me is State Senator Craig Miner, who is our state senator representing the 30th District, which encompasses all of Northwest Connecticut. And he's fully aware of all the good deeds that you have done, and we're here to say thank you on behalf of the Northwest Corner, but certainly the state of Connecticut, because what you have done, the tangible efforts that you have done throughout the tri-state area even, We can't even put a value on that. It's just your service has been invaluable, and we wanted to come here and present you with a state citation from the General Assembly to honor those good deeds.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome.
We're happy to be here.
And you said you've been in office 18 years now.
We'll be at the end of this term.
At the end of this term. And where do you live?
I live in Litchfield.
So you live in Litchfield.
Yep.
And... Okay, I'll turn it over to you
all
guys
right.
then. Thank you very much for coming, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So for the listeners, I'm going to read what we have. It's an official citation from the General Assembly, and this is to commemorate your service. It's introduced by myself, Representative Brian Oler, and State Senator Craig Miner. be it hereby known to all the Connecticut General Assembly, hereby offers its sincerest congratulations to Dave McMillan in recognition of your 25 tireless and selfless years on air at WHDD, WQQQ, Robin Hood Radio, and your faithful and unwavering service to our local communities. As co-founder of the Sunday in the Country Food Drive, along with the late Robert Chatfield, you've helped raise well over $300,000 to provide Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners to tri-state area residents who could not afford it. Your comfort and grace to others will never be forgotten and forever appreciated. The entire membership extends its very best wishes on this memorable occasion and expresses hope for continued success given this fourth day of November 2018 at the state capitol, Hartford, Connecticut. And it's signed by our Senate President, Martin Looney, Speaker of the House, Joe Arasimowitz, and Denise Merrill, our Secretary of State.
Wow.
Thank you very much, Dave, for everything you've done.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Wow.
Why don't you hold that up so Jeannie can take a picture?
Very nice.
We're going to take a lot of pictures.
You are. Jeannie Salad. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. And I possibly couldn't have done it all those years without the support of my lovely wife and my mother-in-law, who actually gave, Bobby Chatfield to me is known affectionately as Chocolate Cupcake. That was my nickname for him. So.
And we donated the first two birds.
Yeah, my mother-in-law and Chris donated the first two birds for the first turkeys that we gave away. And at that time, I sat on a trash barrel in that in studio. So wow. That's how it all started. But anyway, thank you very much. That's.
So we assume that you've handed over the reins to a new director?
Billy Anstett and his wife, Colleen, and he's going to be calling in because we're in the midst of our fundraising, by mail and by word of mouth. And he's been in touch with all the pantries that we do. We do approximately 13 pantries in the area, both on the Connecticut and New York State side. And, the unfortunate thing is the needs are still there, unfortunately. And some of the federal help has kind of dried up in some parts of the state. Different state organizations have had to cut way back. So the food pantries, for instance, I was in Lakeville yesterday at their food pantry, and they were distributing to families, and they probably had 15 or 20 people waiting to do their shopping. Hmm. And, the volunteers, I've said this all along, the volunteers that run these pantries, whether it be Canaan or Millerton or Armenia or Dover, whoever we give our food to, they're tireless. And it's a weekly thing for these folks, So they have to dig up food items for a weekly giveaway. And, some of the items in this pantry in Lakeville, for instance, and I know I visited all our pantries over the years, but it's set up like a supermarket. And, they can come in and they get so much of whatever they need. And some of them, they have fresh vegetables and fresh fruits from some of the local farmers and things like that. And they have nutrition programs that they do. And they're tireless. So the couple of things that we do a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, typically give the pantries a little bit of a break that they don't have to go out and try to hunt up 14-pound turkeys for 500 people. Mm-hmm. So it really gives them a shot in the arm. Now, we don't think we're doing that big a deal, but to them it is a big deal because that's when they get the, everybody that was there yesterday were asked if they needed a Thanksgiving turkey, and every single one that I saw there had signed up for it. So, so the need is there, But the kudos to the volunteers that do those pantries week in and week out because they go to the Connecticut Food Bank to get food. They have local businesses that donate stuff to them. All the local markets anymore have the baskets in the hallways so that if you want to buy a couple of canned goods or some non-perishable food items, you can put them in a basket at the end of your shopping day, and that goes to that local food pantry in that town. And I'm serious, that really has taken the burden. When we first started to get big, we used to do dry foods and turkeys for everybody. So it was, you know, it was big. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, thank you very much for that citation, and I wish you too well in the upcoming election.
Thank you.
Brian, I know you and I have talked before. I'm not really that familiar with you, sir. I'm sorry, but the issues all seem to be the same for everybody.
They are. Yeah, you know, the big issue is certainly the economy and the affordability of Connecticut, and that's not a partisan issue. Everyone can agree with that. And, you know, talking about the food drive and the families that are affected and the weekly line of people and families who are waiting to receive these benefits, you know, it's a testament to the reality that we live in Connecticut. And Senator Minor and I are strong fiscal conservatives, and we've been talking with people, Senator Minor for 18 years, myself being a product of this area for five generations with my family. We've had a lot of small businesses. We've seen businesses come and go. We've seen families come and go. And we need to bring Connecticut back to a more sustainable and predictable future. That's the only way investors are going to come back here. And investors are small business owners and families. They want to see that predictability in Connecticut once again. So.
Absolutely. We're just going to take a quick short break here because it's the top of the hour.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
We're back to our live broadcast of Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. Oh, and we're going to play a tune. Here's Aaron Tippin.
She burns too hot, place too rough. She's got a dress full of dangerous stuff. The way she looks tears me apart, but the way she loves me nearly stops my heart. If her loving don't kill me, don't put me 6 feet down. I'll be the last man standing on the top of the hill. If her loving don't kill me, then nothing will. My doctor told me I look kind of ragged, he said. What happened, boy? Did you fall off the wagon? I said, it ain't my drinking or my smoking, doc. It's my drop.
Sunny to partly cloudy today, a high of 49. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 36. Tomorrow, showers early, becoming a steady rain later in the day, a high of 48. Thank you for listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robinhood Radio and RobinhoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
All right, I'm NASCAR Dave. Welcome back. Good morning, Bill. Bill? Hello? Well, we had Bill. Good morning.
We did have Bill, and we don't have Bill anymore.
Oh. Well, that'd just be a redial. That's kind of like reboot your thing. We'll wait for Billy to call back for sure. Anyway, Billy wants to, I'm sure, talk about the food drive. Well, I hope he breaks the news about NASCAR first. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning.
Well,
so how are you, Dave?
I'm good, Billy. How are you?
I'm all right.
So, are you gonna do the NASCAR news first?
Well, I haven't got a lot of NASCAR news. I know they're down in Texas.
Well, there's a lot of news, Bill. Who won last week, Bill?
Well, I thought we'd skip past that.
Yeah, I figured you'd skip past that.
Yeah, well, you're right, Dave. You picked last week, you picked Logano. Is that not correct?
I did.
Yeah, and Logano pushed his way to the finish line. Won the race, and you've won a race in our NASCAR Cup this year.
Thank God for that, Billy.
Oh, we're never so happy to see that.
All right, so let's get on to serious stuff. The food drive is well underway right now. And you and I had a little meeting yesterday, and I was, to be honest with you, I was surprised at some of the numbers.
Yeah, we're looking over last year and this year. It certainly increased, and we're still waiting on a few of the orders, so we're definitely going to be near the 500 mark again for Thanksgiving. And I think, you know, all in all, the Sunday Country Food Drive is doing well. It seems as though some of the donations are slow to come in this year, but I haven't monitored that as much as you have, so I'm not really sure if that's the case. But anyways, we're happy for those who have given and all of those who are going to give, and we welcome any donation.
Right. So you can make a tax-deductible check out to Sunday in a Country Food Drive, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546. Now, you've done, you and Colleen and your group of volunteers have done a couple of new things. We now have the food drive has its own cell phone that you can leave messages on or get in contact with us.
We absolutely do. That number is 518-267-9865. We also have a website. Email sundayinthecountry@gmail.com.
Okay. So
and you can contact us in that fashion. Also 845-206-5938. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. And if you'd like to make a donation, Sunday in the Country Food Drive, P.O. Box 789, Millerton, New York, 12546.
All right, now, big Saturday coming up. It's always, that's what really kicks off the fundraising when we talk about the Maplebrook program.
Yes, and we will be going out at Saturday. On this Saturday from 9 to 1, we have three different groups which will be covering the whole area or the best that we can. The Institute for Collegiate and Career Studies The kids that go to that program are going to be out helping the food drive, going to businesses in various towns and solicit for money. So they know that in some cases they do not get a donation, but each of the businesses gets a letter either thanking them for a donation or making them aware of the fact of what it is we're doing with the Sunday in the Country Food Drive and the amount of turkeys that we need to give out and the monies we need to raise to do it.
All right, and that's that typically starts off the folks listening to us because once they get out in the community, those young people do such a tremendous job getting the word out that just by word of mouth from their visit, everybody starts to remember that, oh, yeah, the food drive gives turkeys and dry food to different pantries in the tri-state area. And then typically the donation starts to come in. Now, I think last year, if I remember right, they had a record total of number, dollar figure that they did in that one day.
Yeah, it was well over $7,000.
It was damn near $8,000 in one day, between money that they actually received that day, or just through their solicitation of folks saying that they would send us a check in the mail and then just following up on it. I mean, they really get the word out and get the mission going. And without these young people, Billy, the fundraising for the food drive wouldn't be half as successful as it is.
The kids going out, I say kids, young adults, they're going out and doing it or raising monies, and they understand the cause, and they do it gladly. And I know that at Weebatuck they have a program set up again where, those kids over there, they need set amount of community hours for their 4 years at high school to graduate. And it's a program that I believe should never stop. And these kids, they get out and they really experience what it is to volunteer and find out the real meaning of helping people. And these kids in Maple Brook do it gladly, and they do a great job.
Oh, no, absolutely. So, once again, they're going to be going out next week from about 9:30 on till 1.
Correct.
Now, are we going to go up to the home farm?
We are. We're going to the home farm.
Even if we're not invited.
Well, we're not. We're going there at 2:00.
Oh, cool!
Yes. So I think we're all on board for that. So, like you said, we're going to show up either way.
They'll love it.
Yeah.
So will all the animals.
Oh, they'll be happy to see the kids.
Absolutely.
I'm just getting back to the food drive for just a second. I just want to go over the list of pantries. And not so much just to make people aware of the fact what the food drive does and all the community support that goes into it. It's yes, we as volunteers go out and solicit for monies and do fundraisers, but the community supports us, and that's the important thing. And we need to make them aware of the fact that their donation is going to help people within their community and the communities surrounding. It just makes for a better atmosphere, my opinion. So we help out Lakeville, Sharon, Canaan, South Armenia twice, Dover Action, Dover Center of Compassion, Millerton, Hillsdale, Ancrumdale, Pauling, Noble, and various other groups. I there's no names given here, but we help a lot of people, sometimes families who there are crises or they're down and out in their luck. We get get a phone call, and we do what we can, along with all the other not-for-profits in the area, banding together to help those. So just wanted everyone out there, the community, to know that their efforts, their support for the food drive and all the other not-for-profits are going to good causes. Just wanted to make people aware of that.
All right. Well, you're doing a good job, Bill. So I guess the big thing is to get the young people out and raise some more money, but then right away the distribution is the following week.
Yes, it is. We'll be the pantries will be picking up, or we'll be delivering whichever works out best. The turkeys on the 17th. A lot of legwork goes on the 15th, 16th, and the 17th to make sure that we fulfill the needs. And it's a group effort. A lot of support, like I said, from the community. So it'll be a busy couple of weeks ahead. And then we gear up for Christmas.
And how about Greg Pulver and his group? His family lends us the their facility over there so that we don't have to stand in the rain and the cold anymore.
Oh, just it works out perfectly.
In Pine Plains.
Got to thank the Pulvers, and there's no doubt about it. And Pine Plains, too. They're a great organization, great groups over there that work together, and they totally support the food drive in our efforts, and we're happy to have them, and happy that we can set up over there and distribute.
All right. Well, I'll be here until probably the following Wednesday, so you'll be on your own. You'll be fine.
Well, Dave, you can run, but you cannot hide.
Well,
I have your number.
I might get a new phone.
I have all the contacts. It's going to be like you're sitting desk down the road from us.
Yeah, well, so it's going to go fine. Someday I wish that we wouldn't have to do all this, but after going to that Lakeville pantry yesterday, Billy, and that was a weekly need basis for these families, and, you know, the sad part about the situation is the majority of these folks are husband and wife that are both working, but they have a couple of children or they have, you know, school things they have to buy. They've got medicines. They've got all the other things that go along with it. Sometimes they just they need that little bit of boost from the pantry to help them out. So it's not a program like it was years ago, just a handout. A lot of these folks are working folks that just need a little bit of a boost, and we're there to help boost them.
Well, no doubt, and you know, the community, some of the community, a lot of the community knows what's going on. But if you've never been to a pantry, just go check it out, and you'll understand. They're your neighbors. You got to help them.
Absolutely. Well,
so I have one more thing on the last week on the chicken cook-off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, too. Who won?
Well, I have the top four. The winner in the top four places. So in fourth we had I'm a Swamp Donkey. I am a Swamp Donkey. That was the name of the team. that was headed up by Dan Swift and his daughter and his girlfriend. So I know when I announced the fourth place. people were looking around like, "Who the heck is that?" So anyway, so that was that team. In third place was the Gordons, and there was a tie for third and fourth, and the judges came up with their solution to it. So that's how that worked out. The Woodchucks were in second, and I missed my mommy. Was in first.
Oh, no. He's still using that name?
Yeah, it was a different combination of people, but I won't go into the names, but it was very difficult for Jen and I, Jack, to announce that. Just so you know.
I can imagine.
So, anyways, moving on, undoubtedly, it was a wet, cool day. We talked about, maybe rescheduling back and forth, and a good thing we didn't. Yesterday wasn't much of a better day. But anyways, we got it in. It was wet and cool. Thanks for everyone, who came in and cooked. Embrace that weather. I mean, these guys, gals, they were out there. They were determined to cook that chicken, and they did a great job. I'd like to thank the Akron Fire Company for their donation. They've donated chicken every year for the cook-off. It was our 15th year, and so you got to thank them. And I'd like to thank all the teams that donated the chicken and also bought their chicken, which help bolster the Center of the Country Food Drive's take. And I'd like to thank all who supported the Center of the Country Food Drive, the people who came and bought dinners, and the volunteers. Couldn't do it without them. You know who you are. I'd also I'd like to thank Hannah Parks, Alexis Cook, and Hayden Swift, who helped us with the cookies and packing salads. They're Weebatuck High School. They go to Weebatuck High School, and they were fulfilling their commitment to their hours needed for community service. Thank them. Young people in the kitchen helping us out couldn't be better. We made about $1,000. I've been asked by several people. This was a very successful event for the food drive, and I'd like to thank you all.
All right. Nice job, Bill.
And that's about it. I know that I haven't got the news, the scoop on the race this week. Just didn't have time to get into it. But they're in Texas, and Blaney's on the pole.
Blaney's on the pole, followed by Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick, Eric Amarola, Brad Kozlowski, Denny Hamlin, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, William Byron, and Kyle Busch round out the top 10. So there's 2, 4, 6 drivers that are in the chase. 6 out of the 8 are in the top 10. And the first 5 cars are Fords. And as out of the top 10, 7 of them are Fords. I think Ford's got an advantage.
Yeah, I see Truex is going to the back.
Yeah, I read there this morning he had an engine issue. They had to change the engine.
Yeah, there's two other drivers as well.
So he had to go to the back, and that'll be interesting to watch him come up through the field, if nothing else.
Yeah, and Texas is a long race, so it's a long race. It's a long track, so you've got time to get back, but you just never know what a car is going to do with a new motor.
No, it should be an interesting race, because now after this week, there's only one more race before the final four are set for the championship race.
Yeah, there'll be some scrambling today.
Oh, there definitely will. I mean, the only one that's locked in so far is Logano from the win last week. So the other guys, the other people that are in that chase, the other 7, are going to try to win.
Yeah, Elliott's coming on strong. He, he's had a good few races here. He's definitely in the mix.
Oh, there's no question about he's in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised if he would win either this week or next week.
Yeah, he's come along. They've done a lot with him and his car, and as a driver, he's his experience, he gains at every race. So since Jimmy is out, I'd like to see Elliott win it.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. I agree with you. I'd like to see somebody new win it for sure.
Yeah, Truex claims that Logano isn't going to win.
Well, that may be the case. One never know there, but even that Eric Amarola is pretty hot, and Clint Bowyer.
Yeah,
I mean these guys.
No, that's no doubt about that.
They're in the mix. you know, so, and then you're going up against four or five other champions or past champions, so it's going to be tough, but these kids are up and coming.
Well, the one thing I mentioned with Truax, and that, you know, Truax and Logano had their little issue last week. You just about lost that race. But anyways, Logano, it was rubbing his racing, so I didn't see anything wrong with it, but Truax wasn't so happy.
So what are you going to take the win away from me?
Well, it's right
just the way you said that. You almost lost the race.
Yeah, well, it's going to committee right now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
How that's going to work out.
All right, let me know.
I'll fill you in. We should probably know sometime in January.
Yeah, just before the luncheon.
we'll be writing a check to the adoptive family. And we'll square that away right now.
All right. So, Billy, who were your judges last week for the cook-off?
I don't have that information in front of me. But I know that, I can't really say because I don't know their last names. I do know Daryl Strauss.
Okay.
And I want to say Ed Stillman. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, we can do it next week.
Yeah, I failed to get that information.
That's all right.
But they did an awesome job. They took it very seriously.
Well, you were a judge. You were a judge 1 year. It's not easy.
It is not easy.
People think that's an easy job, just taste chicken. But boy, with all the different flavors and stuff, you have to pay attention.
Well, there were 11 teams. So you just think about that, tasting.
Oh yeah,
11 different pieces of chicken, and critiquing them. And as you go along, since I was a judge once, I enjoyed it immensely. But it took some time. You don't just sit down and each of the judges, they talk with one another and it works out great. I think it's always been judged fairly. Of course, I know. I think there was a payoff to Tom Gunn. That was just a rumor. That's a rumor.
Okay, that's a good way to cover that. It's a rumor.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, it's all in fun, and like I said, the judges take it seriously.
Well, now you had a new team in there this year from the Black Rabbit. How was their chicken?
Their chicken was awesome.
Was it?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Awesome. And I'm so glad that Kendra was able to muster that together. I spoke to her a couple weeks before, but you know how things go. She's got a heck of a business over there to run, and she did it gladly. She was very happy, and she came over, and it was great. I just, I'm so glad that they came on board.
She's an amazing.
Again, all the teams.
She's an amazing person with the business she has going, how much she does for the community and supports it. She's like a little like that Energizer Bunny they used to have for the battery, the ever ready batteries.
Just keep moving.
Well, so it's all good. So don't forget next Saturday, the students from Maple Brook, along with Billy and Colleen and a few other folks are going to be going out soliciting funds for Sunday in a Country Food Drive. So we hope everybody stays tuned. And if they're asked to participate, we certainly appreciate it if they do participate in any way they can.
And congratulations on that award, Dave. Well deserved. And, like I said, you can run, but you cannot hide. We will find you.
Yeah, just remember, it's called the Holiday Inn Express. It's about a mile and a half, about a mile from the house.
Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Billy, and keep up the good work.
Have a good day.
So what, two meetings this week?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not a problem.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
All right. So that Texas Motor Speedway, today is going to be seen at 3 p.m. on your NBC affiliate. Once again, Ryan Blaney is on the pole. It's the the race at Texas Motor Speedway. So let's play a tune, and maybe the milkmaid, if she's still available, she wanted to call in. And then where'd Paul go, Larry? He went home? He left. He didn't say goodbye or anything, just left.
Split.
I wanted him to talk about what he did yesterday.
You're going to run him under the bus, so he realized that.
Well, he was at a Mayflower meeting.
Oh, well, that would have been a
The Mayflower Society. I wanted to talk to him about it. I can't believe he walked out of here and didn't say goodbye. He's a bum.
You'll have to take that up with him.
Yeah, I will next week. He won't get in the door. How's that? Because that's got a lock on it. That door, see, it's got a deadbolt on it.
I know. We had it closed today.
All right, we'll be right back after this short pause. And if the milkmaid calls in, we'll talk to her. And then I think the world-famous Jeannie Salad is sitting over there, too. So let's get it started. Play a short tune.
Here's Brad Paisley. Two People Fell in Love. Nope, Kenny Chesney, Better as a Memory.
I move on like a sinner's prayer. I let go like a levee breaks. Walk away as if I don't care. Learn to shoulder my mistakes. Built to fade like your favorite song. Get reckless when there's no need. Laugh as your stories ramble on. Break my heart but it won't bleed. My only friends are pirates. It's just who I am. But I'm better as a memory than as your man. Never sure when the truth won't do. I'm pretty good on a lonely night. I move on the way a storm blows through. I never stay, but then again I might. I struggle sometimes to find the words. I'm always sure until I doubt. I walk a line until it blurs. Build walls too high to climb out. But I'm honest to a fault. Just who I am. And I'm better as a memory than as your man. I see you leaning. You're bound to fall. I don't want to be that mistake. I'm just a dreamer. Nothing more. You should know it before it gets too late. Cause goodbyes are like a roulette wheel. You never know where they're gonna land. First you're spinning, then you're standing still. Left holding a losing hand. But one day you're gonna find someone. And right away you'll know it's true. That all of your sinking's done was just a part of the passing through. Right there in that moment, you'll finally understand that I was better as a memory than as your man. Better as a memory than as your man.
It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
All right, I'm NASCAR Dave. Welcome back to Hometown Sunday Morning. I just reading a post from Ron from Copec. Thank you very much for those statements, Ron. Anyway, So the milkmaid on? Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, Dave.
How are you, Deb?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, we have two events next Sunday to benefit Millerhurst Farm. The first one is at the Pine Plains Lions Club. There's a chicken barbecue. There'll be a 50-50 raffle. There's going to be a silent auction. We have some really nice items. And there'll be raffles and live music, and it's $20 for a dinner. And it's from 12 to 5 at the Lions Club. And tickets are available at the Platter in Pine Plains and the Farmer's Wife in Ankrum.
All right. And it should be, are the ticket sales going pretty good?
I believe so. I think they're planning on 400 people.
Wow. That's huge.
Yes, it is. And there's going to be T-shirts available for sale, I believe, that has Millerhurst Strong on it. And on the back is the sponsors for the T-shirts.
Cool.
And also the same day, but at 6 o'clock in Pine Plains, it's a Sissing House. They're doing a benefit as well. And that's $30 for their dinner, and they're going to have live music. And their phone number is 518-398-8800.
Well, Pine Plains is going to be jumping for the Millerhurst next weekend by the sounds.
Yes, we are. And there was a benefit last night in Tivoli, and I believe they were expecting to raise like $55,000. I don't know what the amount was, but that's what they were hoping to do.
Wow. Phenomenal how the community comes together.
Oh, it's amazing. There's been a lot of support out there.
Well, that's good news. Keep up the good work.
Well, we hope that you can make it. You were the first to buy your ticket.
Oh, was I really?
Yes, you were.
For the chicken, you mean?
Yes.
All right. And that runs from what time?
12 to 5.
Oh, yeah. I can probably... I get over there and pick up my chicken anyway. It's to go or to eat in, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, once again, they're available at the Farmer's Wife and at the, what's the other one?
Platter in Pine Plains.
Okay. Or you can always call you and you can get tickets like you did for me.
Oh, probably.
All right. So, what's your phone number? We're going to put you right
845
on.
845-242-4646.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Debbie. I'm sure you'll be calling next week, right?
Yes.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, make sure you tell Stacy that I won the NASCAR pool for Adopt-A-Family. I'm not quite as good as Steve Value, but at least she's got something coming in.
Okay, I'll let her know.
All right. Tell her I'll stop and see her next week or maybe the following week.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Thanks, Deb.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You actually won.
I did win.
Oh, my God.
All right, so now we're going to talk to Jeannie Salater.
There's lots of congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's lately. Huge because otherwise you're – if you don't win one race in 36, you don't
wow.
pick a winner for your charity. You are definitely the worst loser on earth.
I'm sitting among greatness.
Oh, you are.
Wow.
You pulled it right down to the wire.
I did. I've got – 3 races left.
Well, now you're on a roll.
I got one in
a row.
You know what? Technically, I could win them all.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
but,
right.
Go for a sweep. We might as well just keep it going. I like the way you think,
technically,
Jeannie.
Technically, it would work, but mentally, it won't.
I don't think it's going to work no matter what I do.
I always say the glass may be half empty, but the can is always full.
Full. That's
correct,
right.
Jeannie.
That's nice.
Or it can be, be arranged.
This is the first time you've been in a studio in quite a while, but you said you feel like a kid in high school? What the hell is
yes.
that about?
Well,
like you're going to get in trouble. You said you're going to get in trouble.
Well, we're sitting in a small room.
Yeah.
And then there's announcements going on. And I feel like at any moment, Mr. Eugene Brooks is going to say, Jimmy Wilbur, I'll find you. And then click the thing. And that was how you knew everybody was in trouble. He would just make these random announcements looking for people.
Really?
Usually Jimmy.
Usually, Jimmy, I can't understand that. All right, so what have you been doing since October Festival?
It's been zooey. It's been, well, I took, you know, a little bit of time off. The Fall Festival is a lot of, it's hectic.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's a lot of work.
But a big success.
Yes, yes. Thousands of people visited. It was really, it was the biggest one that I've seen, for sure.
All right,
sure.
So who won the scarecrow things?
Uh-oh.
Do you remember? Are you like Billy? You're not sure.
So for the new category of sculpture, Salisbury School with those amazing dogs. Did you get a chance to see it? Well,
didn't.
You drove by them several
I did.
Times.
Yeah, I did.
Unfortunately, they didn't hold up in the weather, so they had to be taken down
yeah.
that first rainfall.
Yeah, yeah.
And Danielle was sad about that. But now they've learned that coating needs to be doubled down on and whatever. So she's excited, and the school was thrilled to get them back on campus for Parents Weekend. And so that worked out great.
Oh, so they stayed together long enough so parents could see them.
Oh, they actually, they have in various buildings and campus all of the sculptures that they've ever submitted.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, they
oh,
go
cool.
into the permanent collection, which is really neat. So you go around a corner to, you know, algebra class, and there's a giant
something.
Crow. It's really, it's they do a good job, definitely. Best in Cavalero was also in the sculpture category, and the giant spider.
Nice.
Yep. Yep. And that's all I can really
That's the only one you remember. But
Sorry.
How many more did you give out? You gave out quite a few awards, didn't you?
There was a business category.
Yeah.
And then business and nonprofit were together, and then group, individual, family, and then kids.
I've got to tell you what, just driving through the town there after they were all set up,
it
looked, it looked neat. It really did.
It was fun. Good.
And you know what? You had talked about how you were going more into Lakeville and stuff like that. You know what? That really makes the center of Lakeville be part of that whole entire weekend. I mean, the shops and everything.
That's
I mean,
very
it just
important.
it adds another dimension to that whole weekend in my mind.
Definitely. Definitely.
But the scarecrows, the sculptures really drew the attention to the
yep.
businesses.
Yep.
You know,
start
and that
to
was
slow
good.
Down and say, oh, there's a you
yeah.
know, there's a shop there. There's
no,
a,
no.
You know, whatever.
No, nice addition.
So. We're happy with that, and we're happy that you're happy. A big, big success that weekend that I have to talk about is the pet parade.
Oh, really?
Yes. When we got the new sidewalks last fall, well, the sidewalks weren't quite done, but anyway, I was talking to our friend at the Black Rabbit, Kendra Chapman, and I said, you know, we ought to do some sort of a sidewalk celebration thing. And Kendra said right then and there, a year ago, she said, you ought to do a pet parade. And I thought, you know, I have pets. It didn't interest me at all, but I said, all right, I'll bounce the idea off some people. Do you know that 80 humans, 33 dogs, 2 turtles, and a goat paraded on that Sunday in Lakeville?
So were they dressed up? The
yes,
goat, the animals?
There were costumes. It was wonderful.
Oh, cool.
It was absolutely
really?
Hysterical. 80 people brought their pets.
So what did they do? Walk down the sidewalk?
Yeah, we met at Community Field, and we just did a quick loop. We didn't cross 44 or 41 or anything. And, I mean, look out next year, because all of these people said, how can we help? The
wow.
suggestion box was packed.
It's going to take off.
It really is. So we're excited about that for next year.
Wow, you've got to wait.
Mary Wilbur did a fantastic job on that. With
you know, the only section they're missing a sidewalk, unfortunately, is like from Fred's house to the center of Salisbury.
It is rumored that's happening.
Really?
It's rumored that there's
well, I won't
funding
be ready
and
for next year, but
oh,
that
no.
would be a nice touch.
To me, it's necessary because it is one town.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
just
absolutely.
Get them all together, and you know, to be able to walk from Salisbury to Lakeville safely on an actual sidewalk. I mean, the bike path is great, but it's not paved. And I think it would make a big difference. I know I would use it, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Either that or pave the bike trail.
One or the other.
Yeah, I mean,
One or the other. I don't know what's easier.
But the pet parade definitely got to go up Main Street.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Well,
Main Street, you know.
Danielle from Salisbury School said, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, the pet parade could come to Salisbury and culminate there on the White Hart Green. And then when she had to remove the dogs, I said, wouldn't it be great if, as a oops, I'm sorry, I owe you one, you brought the dogs to the pet parade next year.
Wow.
And she said, you're on.
Really?
Yeah. She's game for anything, that Danielle.
Well, they were pretty big sculptures, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they have to be trailered.
You're crazy.
I hope so.
You're crazy as a loon.
That's the only thing that explains it all.
It is, yeah.
So part of my crazy tour, as you know, I'm out and about, and I was at one of our member businesses, and I, you know, ordered my lunch and my tea, and what do you suppose came on the inside of my tea cap just as I was thinking about my friend NASCAR Dave?
I have no clue. I'm supposed to read this?
Yes.
Pinky up.
The inside of the teacup says pinky up, ladies and gentlemen. And you're always throwing Fred and me under the bus because we're from Salisbury and we always have our pinky up.
Well, let me tell you what.
So now that is your memento
of
me. You keep that in your pocket.
You too
better. And anytime you get longing for our company, you just...
Pinky up. Well, it couldn't have went to a better person unless Fred was with you.
I don't know where Fred is. I alerted him to all of this last night, Fred.
You did?
Fred.
That was last night.
Yeah.
Today's a different day.
It was a little late in the day.
It was? Yeah, okay.
He hasn't thawed out yet.
It's all right, though. Well, I'm so glad you came in.
Happy to be here.
All right, so you're going to call in next week? No, you're going away. You're going up to the new MGM.
Going to the MGM Springfield with my sister. Look out.
Well, I thought you did scary things. Didn't you go to Boston somewhere scary?
We went to
last
Salem
year?
To the witches.
Salem.
Yep, and that was really more about seeing the Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit than seeing the witches. And
okay.
It was rainy and yucky, so to go from house to house wasn't...
Are you around on November 9th, Friday?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. When
are,
is that? Oh, no, Friday I'm going up.
Thing at Salisbury School.
Oh, I'm going... That's the night I'm going up to Springfield.
Well, you
but
won't
thank
be
you.
Here.
Thank you.
Well.
But yeah, I'm hoping to find some sort of character, someone interesting at MGM Casino and interview them and send it in. That's my goal for next weekend.
Well, you'll find interesting.
Oh, you,
exactly.
Yeah, you'll definitely find somebody
exactly.
interesting. Probably loonier than you is
yep.
what my thought is.
Yep, that's what I'm hoping.
All right. Well, I'll be thinking of you. But you know, they have phone systems work between the MGM and Sharon, Connecticut.
All right. I'll,
just so you know.
I'll try to call in. But yeah. I have a feeling you're going to be pretty packed with people calling in.
I don't
in,
think so.
You don't
gonna
know.
Make
what
it,
you?
We're going to make it low key.
Good for you.
I'm going to play a lot of country tunes next week, all the ones I like.
Oh, nice.
So that way we don't have
it's
to answer any phones.
Tunes after
well,
that.
People can call all they want, but we won't answer.
Then I'll put 7-on-7 for you. Like red or black.
Unless we know the number. We know the number, we'll answer it. If we don't.
Caller ID. So I posted on Facebook the other day, we got a local phone call from the 435 Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bogus scam
a
kind
call.
Of a thing.
It's yeah, no, absolutely.
They're unbelievable. And then people posted that they get calls from their own phone number.
Yeah, they
jeez.
Do that. They can
oh,
do that.
Oh, it's insane. I don't answer any of them.
No, I'd just as soon get rid of the landline. It's silly.
All right. Okay, so we're going to wind this edition down of Hometown Sunday Morning. Thanks for coming in, Gene.
Thanks for having me.
So next week will be our last show here on Hometown Sunday Morning, but I'm sure Marshall will be in the morning to next Sunday to tell us what the plan is going forward. I hear that Jeannie's going to be doing some things. Willie Hallahan said he was going to be doing some things. So the show is going to try to still stay community-oriented, play a little bit of country music. But we'll be back with more Hometown Sunday Morning next week. Our last show be 25 or 26 years having fun on the radio. So I hope next week will be the grand finale of just a lot of good times that I've had here on the radio. So I'm sure it will. I want to thank all our guests today. Senator Miner. Wow.
Yes.
That's
a big deal.
Representative Brian Oler. You know, I mean, this is they're right in the midst of campaigns, and they come in here and talk to me. And Commander Kirk Harrington from the VFW, of course, Linda Orlowski and my wife Christine from Noble Horizons, and Willie Hallahan, of course, and the Milkmaid. Once again, thank you all for participating in today's show. I thank Paul, but Paul walked out and didn't say goodbye to me. So
Paul who?
Yeah. Well, see, Paul's moving his office up to Millerton.
Oh, good for him.
this week.
I think it got washed away.
And he's going to need somebody to bring stuff up here.
Not it.
Guess what? That ain't happening. I hope he knows a good moving company. Hey, there's plenty of them in New York City.
You can get big drones.
They can. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back with more Hometown Sunday Morning next week.
Wish this night could last forever. Ah, but the show must go on. And we'll take home the memories, and we'll leave you with our songs. It's been good to see y'all. Can we come back again and again and again? What keeps the fires a-burning in us is you, the fans. As long as you remember the boy. Our